This morning, I'm continuing this series on the Messianic Jewish life. The goal is to really clarify a few things within our community, but beginning with, I think, the most important thing, which is how people come into right relationship with God. We have to remember that God created all that existed, and then man, according to Jewish tradition, bit the pomegranate, and everything just fell apart from there, all right? Sin came into the world, and with sin, a break in relationship with God. God created us to be in full relationship with Him. It is sin that separates us from God, all right? And so the sin issue has to be dealt with. Last week, we took a look at Romans chapter 1, and 2 weeks ago, we talked about talked from the book of Habakkuk. Both of these messages related to faith and how by faith we come into right relationship with God. This morning, I just want to continue this thought with another passage, Romans 3, Romans chapter 3 in the Berachot Hashah. So please turn with me to Romans 3. We're on page 1074 of the Congregational Tanakh. And we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 31. Now, the good news which Shaul, Paul, repeatedly presents in his writings is that God has made it possible for people to be made positionally righteous before Him solely on the basis of Messiah Yeshua's bloody sacrificial death. I'm going to pause. Position. Okay? Cindy and I were talking about this. Some of you are sitting in the exact same pew you always sit in. There's a position that you take. Position. I'm looking at Dr. Lang over there. I mean, Bob and Barry. Position. There is a place you put yourself. All right? Some of us put ourselves in bad positions, okay? Think of a moment when a decision you made put you in a bad place, okay? Position's important in life. What position are you putting yourself into? What position are you sitting in today? Why are you sitting where you're sitting? Now, positionally, we all stand before God. We all stand before God. God looks at every single person who is alive today, who has ever lived. God knows their position spiritually. And it says in the first part of chapter 3 that all are unrighteous. All right? We talked about this even last week. All are unrighteous. Positionally before God, all are in a position of unrighteousness, sinfulness, whatever word you want to say. We've all committed avaras. We've all transgressed God's instructions. Therefore, positionally, we are without hope. Even in the liturgy we recite for Yom Kippur, we pray with the hope and with the hope that there will be atonement. But yet what we lack, according to Shaul, Romans chapter 10, is a Jewish people, we lack the proper understanding of how atonement is made possible, which is through Yeshua's atonement, which we're going to talk about today. But I want to begin by talking about position, because outside of faith in Messiah Yeshua, all people are in the same position before God. They are positionally sinful, therefore out of relationship with God. Does that make sense? For those of us who are married, husbands, when we transgress our wives, and so we make them angry, where do they want us? On the couch. Positionally away from them because they're mad at us, right? I use that. It's a great illustration. Myself, I never sleep anywhere because I can't sleep anywhere in my own bed. But I understand what it means to positionally be on the couch, to be in trouble, all right? So again, before God, outside of faith in Yeshua, all are positionally in the same place. They are positionally outside of relationship with God. This morning, what we want to talk about is that because of our faith in Messiah Yeshua, our position changes. When we accept that Yeshua came to bring atonement for our sin, that His death takes away our sin, it actually transitions us into a new position. We be positionally come into relationship with God. Does that make sense? Before belief in Yeshua's atonement, we're positionally lost. We're positionally outside of relationship. Once we place our faith in Yeshua's atonement, we change and come into a new place, into relationship with God. The reason that's important is because we have to understand that it's all based on faith in Yeshua's atonement. We go back to the book of Habakkuk. It was believing in the Lord that made one righteous. The proud, haughty person, his right is, heart is not right in him. But the person who places his faith in the Lord, that person is going to be in relationship with God. That person is living a life of faith. Abraham believed in the Lord and was made righteous. Now, I bring that up because faith is often considered at odds with something called works. And especially in the Christian community, and this is ultimately we're going to get to next week, we're going to be in James 2. There are some who have a real issue with works. Works are important. What you do matters. Every once in a while, I run into somebody who just talks about grace, grace, grace. Grace is wonderful if it's understood properly in terms of our position before God. But you know, a lot of people, they live on grace because they don't even try to do what is good. They just think God will forgive them for everything they do. God's that benevolent grandfather figure upstairs that puts up with them no matter what they do. That's not God. That may be your grandfather, but that's not God. So this morning, we're going to look at two aspects. This is on in your notes. But the big idea, the main point I want to talk about is that God's righteousness is not available for those who will personally place their faith in Messiah Yeshua for them. I want to talk about that as I also deal with this issue of Torah. So this morning, we're going to talk about these two aspects of God's righteousness, what it comes from and what it doesn't come from. So take a look, chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "But now God's righteousness, apart from the Torah, has been revealed, to which the Torah and the prophets bear witness, namely the righteousness of God through putting trust in Messiah Yeshua to all who keep on trusting. For as there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are set right as a gift of his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua. God set forth Yeshua as an atonement through faith in his blood to show his righteousness in passing over sins already committed. Through God's forbearance, he demonstrates his righteousness at the present time, that he himself is just and also the justifier of the one who puts his trust in Yeshua." I'm going to stop there. So the first thing I want to touch on is this whole idea of God's righteousness apart from the law. Now, I want to start there because there's such confusion. A couple of weeks, maybe 2 months or so, I'm going to be giving a presentation at the Lausanne Consultation in Los Angeles, and I'm going to present this. For many Christians, especially evangelical dispensationalist Christians, they believe that when we as Jews keep the Torah, that it's simply because we are trying to earn our righteousness. It's a complete misunderstanding of the Torah. It's no difference than asking a Christian by what they live. They live by the New Testament. And they don't keep the New Testament in order to be made righteous. They shouldn't. They do it because God gave them instruction to follow. So, for ourselves as Jews, God has given us good instruction. And the instruction he's asked us to follow is in the Torah. The Torah instructs us as Jews how God expects us to live as his unique chosen people. It's insufficient to say that as Jews, our matzo ball soup and our gefilte fish is somehow or another the thing that makes us unique. Absolutely false. Matzo ball soup is European, and gefilte fish, I think, is also from Northern Europe. And of course, we all know as Ashkenazi, those of us who are Ashkenazi, which is most of us, that we love our potato pancakes at Hanukkah, except for the fact that Sfardim like jelly donuts, sufganiyot. All right? There's all these different traditions and things that we have as Jewish people. But what makes us truly unique and set apart is the Torah. God's unique instructions to us, the Shabbat and Kashrut and things like this, that are important for understanding and living out Jewish life. And really what it is important for us to be set apart from the nations. It's not because people did not know how to eat pork. That is such a bad argument. Everybody knew how to eat pork. God just told us not to eat it. Why? Because it would make us look odd. Them Jews, they're strange. They don't eat pork. That's okay. God's like, you're a peculiar people. Be peculiar. Do peculiar things. Like not eating certain food and taking a whole day off. That also was an issue in the old days, a couple thousand years ago. So weird for these Jews. They take a day off. But God gave these instructions for us specifically to make us unique. The Torah was never a means to righteousness. That was not its purpose. It's a big misunderstanding among New Testament Christian scholars. So many also Messianic Jews misunderstand it. The Torah was never a means to righteousness. That was not its purpose. Instead, the Torah was provided only for Abraham's descendants through Jacob to make them a unique nation set apart compared to the other nations. That's the point in the beginning here of chapter 3, which continues on later in the book of Romans and other places. So, to summarize it, and this we'll eventually talk about in a couple of weeks, Jewish followers of Messiah Yeshua are obligated to observe and live out the Torah's instructions, demonstrating obedience to God's ongoing covenant with Israel. Makes sense. Just at a conference that Ina was at, Ina Pickman's in the room. Okay. I talked to a couple of scholars who are Second Temple experts when it comes to the Jewish community. There was absolutely no movement within Second Temple Judaism to in any way believe that we were supposed to set aside the Torah. There was no movement to discontinue kashrut, and no movement that believed that Shabbat would be absolved, that in any way the covenant on Sinai would somehow be set aside. There was no evidence. There is no evidence of that. The evidence for that, unfortunately, comes out of second century CE teachings from the Christian community, not out of the Jewish community. On the other hand, though, we have a lot of confusion about this in our day and time. Gentile followers of Messiah Yeshua are not obligated to observe and live out the Torah's instructions, except for moral and ethical teachings that are good for all people to observe as followers of the God of Israel through faith in the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua. Accepting according to the New Testament text that there continues to be a distinction of roles in the body of Messiah for Jews and Gentiles. That's the whole point of the New Testament text. Supposed to be two distinct peoples, all for the glory of God, Jews and Gentiles. I didn't make it up. It's God who made it up. Why? He has his reasons. So those of us who are Jews, we have an obligation to maintain our identity, to live out God's instructions. It's obligatory upon us. But it doesn't bring about righteousness. It's just God's expectations. Like, don't steal, don't covet, stop killing people if you do it on Thursdays. Do we recognize that? Too often as Jews, we don't. So often as Jews who come to believe in Yeshua, we don't. And we lose our identity. We lose our ability to be the people God needs us to meet his expectations in the world, that there be both Jews and Gentiles. And there are Gentiles who feel that somehow or another there's a special blessing if they do Jewish things and they have to keep the law, misunderstanding that in doing that, they destroy their own identity. That one day God is going to provide in the kingdom and in the end, providing for the continuation of the nations, which I think is this ultimate reality, that God cares about the distinction in our world. I want to point out one other thing, and that is that Yeshua's sacrifice is not related to the sacrifices that we see in the Torah. You know, in Jewish tradition, in morning prayers, we recite all the different sacrifices in the preliminary prayers. And part of the idea is that in reciting them, we gain some kind of efficacy, some kind of value from them. But you know, for us, as Jews who have come to accept Yeshua, that the sacrifices in the Torah is not relatable to what Yeshua the Messiah has done for us. So what God did for us is something that's above and beyond and distinct. Yeshua the Messiah came to make atonement for sin, not according to anything really in the sacrificial system. Instead, it was God choosing to provide in a unique way for our relationship with him. That's why it's not tied into what the Torah says. It's good for anybody and everybody because it's outside of it. It's eschatologically distinct and different. That's amazing when you think about it. God goes outside of his own written code to provide something that's not possible within that written code. something that is unique. As I said before, it's akin to what he did with David. Remember, good old Melech David, you know, an adulterer and a murderer, and he should have died twice, easy. And God said, don't worry, I've forgiven your sin. On what basis? God's action. That's it. In this way, God has provided atonement for us, for all those who will believe. God set forth Yeshua, verse 25, as an atonement through faith in his blood to show his righteousness in passing over sins already committed. Got to remember that within the Torah, there's no forgiveness for sin that is committed knowingly. Not really. That's why the system kind of was good in showing us our sinfulness. But ultimately, the Messiah had to come and provide this amazing atonement outside the box. But it requires faith. I find it's very hard for people to have faith in God, especially in our secular world. Have you noticed it? A lot of religious people, still, although America, I mean, especially younger people are becoming less and less religious. But religiosity, in essence, is really easy. But to have faith in God, to truly, deeply place your belief in the fact that God is real and that he is doing things in our world that we do not necessarily fully understand or appreciate. Like providing atonement for sin through some guy who lived 2,000 years ago. That what Yeshua the Messiah did 2,000 years ago changes lives today. Radically changes lives today. Amen. That's because it's out of the box. It's not just some religious ditty. Verse 27, it says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we consider a person to be set apart, to set right apart from Torah observance. Is God the God of the Jewish people only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since God is one, he will set right the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then nullify the Torah through faithfulness? May it never be. On the contrary, we uphold the Torah. I think that the most amazing thing and extremely hard thing to understand and appreciate is that God wants relationship with all people, not just Jews, not just Gentiles, and you don't have to be who you are not. When I became a believer in Yeshua, it finally clicked when I realized that I, as a Jew, could believe in Yeshua no different than anybody else can believe in Yeshua and still be themselves. That this is a message which is meant to change me because I come positionally into a new and unique relationship with God. And so part of my challenge for us in this first part of this whole little series is, do you really understand this at a deep level? Do you really understand what it means to be in a position of righteousness before God? To have the righteousness of God because positionally you have come into relationship with God through your faith in Messiah Yeshua? Or are you just religious? Or I have to say this to Jews, are you just Christianized? People ask me all the time, how many Jewish people believe in Yeshua? I say, not so many. But there's a large chunk that are Christianized. They become Catholics or Baptists or Lutherans. I meet them every once in a while. They're Jewish, but they go to church with their wives and they don't believe in anything, really. But they celebrate Christmas and Easter. And God wants to be in relationship with people. But the only way that's possible is through personal faith in Yeshua's atonement. To believe in that. And by believing in that, being put into this whole new position of relationship. Do you believe in Yeshua this morning to such an extent that you know God is changing your life? Do you believe in Yeshua to such an extent that you know you want to change your life because you want to be in an better relationship with God? Do you desire to be in relationship with God? You know, fundamentally, everything's going to burn. I don't know if it'll burn because of the coronavirus or not, but fundamentally, all that's around us will end. It's not always going to be the way it is. The only thing that matters is our enduring relationship with God, which is good now and good for all eternity. This morning, I encourage you to consider whether or not you are a genuine believer in Messiah Yeshua, genuinely believe in his atonement, and have received by that a new position before God, a position of righteousness based on that faith. Have you personally accepted Messiah Yeshua for yourself? Or is this just an intellectual thing? Or maybe you just absolutely refuse to accept it. You don't believe it. I encourage you to think about it. I encourage you to consider the amazing love of God, though, too, who went out of the box for you to send the Messiah, Yeshua, to provide atonement for your sin. Not just for your sin, but for all who will believe. And also, as part of that, to recognize that as Jews, to be in proper position before God means also our enduring responsibility to live out this covenant that he has given to us. It is our obligation. It is our responsibility. As a synagogue of Jewish people that believe in Yeshua, we should be known for our zeal for the Torah, just as it speaks about the other Jews who believe in Yeshua in the book of Acts, chapter 21. A passion to live out our identity in fulfillment of also this eschatological truth that God has called us to be his people for reasons sometimes I'm not so sure, but for reasons that he obviously has. Let's think on these things. Let's be willing to be challenged as well on where we're at, what we believe, and how we understand. Let's be willing to consider how God might do with us something new in this amazing position we have with him, this relationship based on faith that makes us the righteousness of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for the truth of your scriptures, just the amazing reality of what it means to be in relationship with you. God, we live in a secular world where people doubt the reality of who you are, and yet you are God. People can ignore you, but you're still the guy. You're still God. We honor you. We bless you. We choose, God, to be in relationship with you. We thank you for our Messiah, Yeshua, by whose sacrifice our atonement has been made and this relationship has been made possible. Help us, God, to live out our position as your people for your glory until our Messiah, Yeshua, returns. We pray all this in Yeshua's name.